streaming live around the world, this is Paper Cuts with Brad and Jay.
We'll just get this out of the way here. Thanks for joining us on Brad's show.
Yeah, thanks for coming to my show. I did not say shenanigans. Okay.
Are you drinking already?
No, I've just got water. Just got water. Always looking smooth, aren't you?
Yeah, I do it. I try to clean up for the show. Look, one of us has to. Come on.
Tonight, we revealed a cover for Nightmare Sky from Death Nail Press. Woohoo! It's time to party!
We are live.
We are live.
Wow. What's going on,
wow, Jay?
That is an epic opening.
Epic. For an epic event. That's why I had to make it huge. That's what it was, because it is an epic event tonight. A special edition of Paper Cuts, by the way.
Yep.
We don't get asked very often to do something this big, this spectacular, this huge, this ginormous, this come on, writers, fill in, give me a few more words.
Monumental.
Okay, there you go. We'll keep it at that. Yeah, so what's up, everyone? My name's Jay. That's Brad over there. Enough about us. Red Lego, how the hell are you?
I'm doing all right.
Decided to hang out with us on a Friday night, huh? What brings you by this evening?
Well, there's nothing to do tonight anyway. There's a storm going through, so.
Right.
Here I am.
We just threw it together last minute.
We never promoted anything or nothing at all, right?
No, never. I don't even know why she asked us to be a part of this.
Honestly, it's an honor to be asked to reveal the cover for Nightmare Sky. And we've seen it, and you know how I am with secrets, and I'm going to explode if we don't get it out there soon. So, yeah, we need to do that sometime soon here. But Red has come along with some friends. We have some friends backstage.
Mm-hmm. Like, backstage? Like, that sounds so fancy. They're like in the green room. Or
yeah, they're back there eating M&Ms and stuff. So, but yeah, let's get into it, Brad. Take it away.
All right, so we're going to play this little intro video, and then once that's done, another intro video, and then once it's done, we'll reveal the cover.
And then another intro video.
Another intro video. It's inception of the intro videos tonight.
Yeah. I want to talk to Red about some of this stuff too. And then we'll, you know, bring in some people.
Red said no. She just pissed out.
Screw it. She's done.
She said, I don't want to talk to you all.
So let's go ahead and do the video.
We'll do the video.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cover reveal right now. I love it.
Right now. Like, are you ready? Like, well, Red's back.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Like, yeah, my power went out. I lost my Wi-Fi, so I had to get on my phone.
Yeah, you're getting remnants of was it Ian? Ian? Ian?
Yeah, Ian.
Yeah.
All right. So this is the cover tease. Are you ready to reveal this, Red?
Like a countdown? I think we should do a countdown or something.
Oh, hold on. I'm glad you said that. I've got a drum roll. This is really fancy.
Can we do like a countdown from like 100?
Yeah. Yeah. Are you ready? Listen.
Ta-da!
Cover reveal.
Stories of astronomical horror.
Edited by Red Lego with a foreword by Alan Baxter.
Yep. All right, there you go. See you guys later. Bye.
Good show.
So what Red, cover.
Red, you drew this and designed it and everything, correct? Red, you're on mute. Can I unmute you?
Yes. Nope. The foreground. Am I good?
Oh, you're good. Good. You're good.
Okay. Yeah, I drew the foreground images, and the background is a photograph. Okay. Of the sky.
Where did the idea for it come from? Did you just pop in your head, I want to have a bunch of skulls with a telescope on top, or?
Yeah, pretty much. So yeah, there's no I don't even remember how it came to be. I knew I wanted, I don't know, I knew I wanted depth and I wanted the sky. I wanted a telescope,
wanted
and I just, yeah, I did. I wanted someone to just be so enraptured by the sky that they just lay there staring until they die.
I like this little guy right here, just propped up against
Yeah.
the telescope, just looking off.
That's gonna be me. That's gonna be the way I go.
Is this drawn or is this like a computer program or something you made?
No, well, both. So I drew all the skulls in the telescope. So I drew that foreground part.
You drew
and then
each skull, like you just
yes. Yeah.
a lot of skulls you drew.
Yeah. Yeah,
Like
there's
a, like
more.
a
It like
somebody that,
extends
yeah.
under the
If somebody didn't know better and they just walked by and you were sitting like at McDonald's or something drawing skulls, they might contact some people.
The
Quite
inside of the
possibly,
book
you know, because I
has
often go to McDonald's and it's
and
sketch
draw.
skills.
So the interior inside the book, did you draw all that too? Because each story has an accompanying piece of art with it.
I did. I was stupidly ambitious and decided
It looks so good.
I was gonna draw a picture for every story. But there's 28. There's 28
28.
of them. So I did 28 illustrations, which,
28
like I
stories.
said,
Did,
was
wow, that's a lot.
wildly ambitious. I don't know why I did that. I thought it'd be easier because I was doing it's a lot of white ink on black, so a lot of just like stippling and stars, and I was like, yeah, I can do that, it won't be too hard. But yeah, it took a while.
So you did 29 pieces of original art, the cover and then the one for each story.
Yeah, 30
Somewhere.
actually, because
30.
there's another one inside. Yeah. 40, because there's a little line break. Yeah, not 40, 31. I'm just counting by tens now.
So
How
we have
Yeah, about
28,
30.
we have 28 stories in this. How many stories did you actually receive? Do you know?
It was over 250 stories. 250 something stories. Yeah. There was a lot of really good stuff that was submitted. I pulled out all the stuff that I absolutely love and wanted in the collection or in the anthology. And there were well over 120,000 words, which is it was just too much. So I had to let go of half the stories I loved.
So how long did it take you to read through all these?
I tried to read them as they came in.
Okay.
So I started accepting submissions early May 1st. And I was getting submissions through about mid-June. And so they started coming in right away, May 1st. And so I tried to read the stories that came in daily, or at least weekly, I'd keep up with them. So I was done reading all the submissions by the end of June.
That's good. That seems way
Yeah,
less
so.
daunting than what 200 something all at once.
Yeah, which is exactly what I didn't want to do.
Why stories? I mean, I kind of know the answer because we've talked before, but for those at home listening, why stories of astronomical horror? What's going on with that? What was the whole ideal and purpose behind Nightmare Sky?
I'm kind of a space geek, I guess. I've always absolutely loved astronomy. I've always been interested in astronomy. The night sky is very inspiring for me. So a lot of my own stories kind of incorporate, whether it be an astronomer or something going on weird in space or something going on with the stars, or even if it's not, doesn't have anything to do with the stars, I end up talking about the sky in a lot of my stories anyway, because that's just what I do. I walk outside and I look up. And my husband kept saying, you should do a collection, an astronomy collection, horror. I'm like, yeah, which is something I always wanted to do, but I also always wanted to put out an anthology because I love short stories, and I wanted to tackle that. I wanted that challenge of putting together my own anthology, so I figured I'd do the astronomy anthology.
Because you have a, is it the Astronomer's Mistress in Lucid Screams? Is that what it's called?
Yeah,
That was one of my favorite stories from that collection.
He looked it up today. Thank you. Just for the show.
No, that's right off the dome. I remember that one. That's a good one. I remember that one and like the Russian pizza parlor one, because that one was just really funny and weird.
That was so weird. You know what that pizza story was for, right? Oh, you remember the pizza anthology?
Was it for Max Booth?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. That was one of like the 600 rejected stories or something. But I did fix it though, because there were problems with it. So after it got rejected, I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do with this, but I fixed it. I made some changes and tweaked it a little bit.
So are we going to see A Nightmare Sky Part 2, since you got so many extra stories, or no? Has this worn you out for the rest of your life?
Yeah, it's just worn out. I think this is it. This is it. Some people thought I should have. A lot of people suggested it. You should just do two anthologies. And
yeah.
One, I don't have the money. And I don't want to be that publisher who decides to do an anthology and can't pay their people.
Oh yeah, right, yeah.
So it's kind of bad. Yeah,
it's kind of bad.
I have no plans of doing an anthology until I have the money to pay people.
And this so is the official first... release date is November 4th, correct?
Yes.
Okay, I guess we're sure I got that date right. So,
and it's also you can go ahead and pre-order it on Amazon, and I think nobody found it yet. So.
I found it this morning. But I just wanted to see
if it was on there.
Yeah,
because Red Message just
it's on there. Monday. It's been on there almost all week. I was hoping nobody. I'm glad nobody.
Glad we lost our kid. Super.
The weather. Oh, I think she's coming back. We'll see.
Well, I say
we. Am I losing everybody?
There we go. There she is. You're back.
I don't know why I'm losing. I'm plugged into a brick. I think I'm just losing some of my data connection to. Okay.
Well, before we lose you again, you brought a few friends along. Who'd you bring along with you?
Yes, I brought I don't even know. Tiffany Michelle Brown, Holly Ray Garcia, Matthew Condolo. I don't know if I pronounced his name right. And Ai Yang.
Okay. So we'll go ahead and we'll bring all them on. If you want to, we'll have you hop backstage and we'll bring you on.
Yeah,
later,
I'll hop backstage. I'm trivia try and stuff. To get my computer working.
Yeah, we'll give you some time. We'll kill time and talk to everyone else and then bring you back. So we have a giveaway.
Yeah.
For those listening and watching, we have some of a giveaway that we're going to do a little bit later.
Everyone stick around.
I don't know if you can see it.
Hold on, move it out of the way.
Oh, I dropped the meteorite.
Hold it up again. Hold it up again so people can see it.
Right. I'm trying. I don't know where my camera is. Right here. I don't know if
we're gonna have some. We're gonna have some trivia questions, and I think we'll do like five or six maybe, and we'll put everyone who answers one correctly on a wheel, and we'll spin a random winner at the end. You can win the meteorite and an art copy of the book. For physical copy, be U.S. only, and digital outside U.S. Is that what we're gonna do?
Yeah. Unfortunately, last time I tried to ship a book outside the U.S., it was going to cost $46.
Yeah,
shipping's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you have that chance of it not even getting there. So.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
All right. So we'll switch over. We'll bring all the
The
contributing authors on. We'll chat with them, and then Red will bring you back on later on. We'll do some trivia and do the giveaway and stuff.
Great. I'll see you around.
Don't go anywhere, Red. Hello, everybody.
Hello, everyone.
Thanks for your patience waiting backstage and for the host to be late.
Yeah. I think everybody's on mute, Brad. If you want to try to.
Are they all muted? Okay.
Okay. Can you hear me?
I can.
Who said that?
The queen of paper cuts, the most viewed episode of all time.
I don't know why.
That is right. She is the most viewed episode of
She's got like close to 2,000 views. Just
really
nice.
That's insane. That's weird.
Not that I didn't expect your episode to blow up, but I was also surprised as well.
So thank you all of you for being here and being part of this cover reveal, this spectacular event. Let's go around the room and let's everybody introduce themselves for those listening at home. Start with Holly, since she's
start,
right next
start to with the queen of paper cuts.
Okay, you gotta stop saying.
We're getting t-shirts made up, by the way.
We're introducing ourselves?
Yes, yeah. Go ahead.
Holly Ray Garcia. I've written 3 books. Well, 1 book and 2 novellas. I co-wrote The Easton Falls Massacre, Bigfoot's Revenge with my husband, Ryan. He's in the comments saying hi. And yeah, I've been writing only since about 2019. So I'm relatively new. I'm not one of those writers who's wanted to do it since they were a fetus. It's pretty new, but it's addicting and a lot of fun and having fun with it. So that's me.
And what is your story in this collection?
Oh, we got to say that.
I just threw that out. I totally threw a curveball.
It's called Star of San Luis. And so I live on the Texas coast, and between my county and Galveston is something called San Luis Pass. And so that's why I named it that. But it's sort of the birth of Jesus story with the Northern Star. But in an apocalypse, and there's some supernatural stuff, so it's weird. But it was a lot of fun.
It was a cool story. I liked it a lot.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Let's just Matthew, go down. Let's do a Brady Bunch thing. Matthew, Brady Bunch. What's up?
Hello, I'm Matthew Candelo. Live in Jersey City with my amazing husband. I am basically new to all of this. This is actually the first thing I've ever submitted. I've written stuff for years and tucked it away and never shared it with people. And then my best friend was like, you know, you should start putting some of this stuff out there. And so I did. And I'm very excited about that. It's crazy. It's crazy that this happened. But I'm so honored to be part of this. I read some of the stories and I was kind of like, I got a little bit of imposter syndrome. But it's so cool. And my story is called The One Who Rides the Comet. Mm-hmm. It is about a young boy in a small town who is different and feels alone. He's dealing with the loss of his brother, and his parents have become distant, and this comet appears, and there's more to it than meets the eye. And I just leave it at that. And, yeah, so
you won the lottery the first time.
Right? It's kind of crazy. I didn't. I submitted it without expecting anything.
I mean, just so you know, I mean, you have a whole horror community of writers that hate your guts right now because of that. just so you know. I mean, congratulations.
Put him on blast, Jay.
Congratulations, but still, well, what the heck? Let's get Red back on here. See what happened. Yeah. How did this happen?
For me, it's, you know, as a gay guy with autism, growing up, you know, I had 2 things that were therapy for me, reading, writing, and then theater. And so those are the things that kind of kept me going. And the writing, like I said, has always been something that's been like hidden away. I don't share it with people, but now as I approach my 40s, I'm like, why not share it with people and see where it leads? So
I saw you on your Twitter the other day, you did like a singing thing or a theater thing the other day. You were singing on there.
Yep.
So all of these other stories you have hidden away, are we going to see those? Are you going to start submitting
more things? He's throwing the collection out tomorrow.
Yeah, short story collection right now.
I'm getting the courage to submit it, and so it'll be out there hopefully, and hopefully people will like it, and hopefully I'll get better as we go along.
Well, thanks for stopping by. We totally appreciate it.
Let's move over. Thanks for
Tiff,
having me.
What's going on, Tiff?
Hey, hello. Well, everyone.
She's dressed up fancy for the party.
I know. I am ready. Give me a theme.
Fire in the back place. Yeah.
Give me a theme and I'm here. Okay. The fire is from my husband. It was so funny. He was so cute because he got everything set up for me out here. He's like my tech guy. I have like tech support for this. It's amazing. And I was going in and doing my makeup and I came out and the fire is on and I'm like, what is this? And apparently this is the Witcher fire. And I'm like, this is perfect.
Oh, okay.
It's cracking me up. And I was like, this is perfect. I'm so here for this. So hi, my name is Tiffany Michelle Brown, and clearly I'm a little extra. I'm a California-based writer. I've been writing and submitting for about 8 years, so I guess I've been at this for a minute. I've only published short stories up until now, but I am working on my first collection, which I'm hoping is going to be out early next year. And my story in Nightmare Sky is called Stargazer. And it is basically about a man who goes on a first date and discovers the cosmos in his date's eye and becomes maybe a little unhealthily obsessed.
Just a little bit. And then you did something in there that I just absolutely hate with Steph. So I was like, oh, it's awful. if you know yeah. what I don't that like in horse stories, then you do.
If you possibly. Know, you know. Yes, same here. Like, writing is definitely an exorcism for me, so I tend mm-hmm. to write about the things that really kind of squick me out as well, which is probably why I write a lot of body horror and a lot of kind of like psychological relationship stuff.
Right.
And Red was like, oh man, I wish I could be a fly on the wall for whenever people read that story and actually find out where it's going. And I was like, thanks, but also sorry.
Yeah. But Brad's favorite horror is eye horror.
It's the two things I don't like: claustrophobia, and then the eye stuff. I can't.
I know anything to do with eyes just freaks me out too, 100%. So of course, naturally, that's where I went.
So thanks for kicking off the anthology with that one for me.
Absolutely, huzzah!
Of course, thanks for being here and hanging out with us. And totally appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. And
wrapping things up, who do we have here? Oh, that was your cue. I'm sorry. I should have, you know.
No worries. Hi, I'm I Jang. I am clearly wildly underdressed yet overdressed at the same time. It's cold here in Canada, so sweater season. So I've been submitting stories since fall 2020. Mainly horror and science fiction. And I have a debut novella coming out next year. Shameless self plug here.
plug away.
Yeah. And my poem in Nightmare Skies is about this woman's partner who gives her a star, but she later realizes that it's a planet that he's traveling to. And she basically mm-hmm. loses him to the unknown. Yeah.
Spooky.
I liked it a lot. It was good. I like the art that Red did for it too. I don't know if you've seen the artwork she did for it.
It's beautiful.
It is. Yeah. It looks really good.
So you have a novella coming out soon.
Yes, next year.
Is that horror? Or is that sci-fi?
It's a like a modern gothic ghost story.
Oh,
and okay. It's called it's called Linghun, and basically in this neighborhood you can buy houses to live with the ghosts of your dead loved ones.
That's interesting.
Stop.
That's cool. I like that.
Nice. We'll be looking for that.
So since you like horror and sci-fi, this is sort of like your perfect mix for an anthology call then, right?
Yes.
So for all of you all, did you all have stories just already set up, or did you see this call and write the story for specifically for this anthology? We'll go around. We'll start with Holly and go around again.
I saw the call and wrote it specifically for the call.
Yeah. Same for me. I saw the call and wrote it specifically for the call.
Okay.
Yeah. Same here. I'm a really big fan of Red's work, so I knew that I wanted to write something, but the idea didn't come to me until like 2 days before the submission window closed. So I love a deadline. Oh yeah, I wrote it in one session. Like I had to wait for the right inspiration for it, mm-hmm. it to like come, and then the voice was super urgent, and I wrote it all in like one thing and went, well, I hope that this isn't crap the next day. But I read it and was kind of like, okay, no, actually, I really like this. Like, let's go ahead and send it in. Cool. I have something.
Similar to Tiff, I also had to wait for the right inspiration to write it. A lot of people kept mentioning the call and I kept flipping back and forth, but I was like, nope, this is not the time yet. Nope, this is not the time yet. And then suddenly in the middle of the night, I was like, yes, this is the time.
So did you, was it always that you wanted to do a poem, or were you thinking about maybe a story, or did you go back and forth, or?
I contemplated between a story and poem, but once I started writing it, I was like, no, this has to be a poem. It's not going to be like the length for a story, and the language was just way too lyrical for it, too.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, have you done a lot of poetry before?
Here and then, not as much as stories, but when I'm feeling particularly inspired, I'll do poetry.
Okay.
So aside from the procrastinators, for the other ones, like when the call came out and you knew you wanted to write a story for it, how long did it take for your actual story to develop? And did you end up with the product you thought you were going to end up with, or did you change it several times before you got to the end of it? Anyone can hop in there. Matthew, let's go with you.
Yeah. There is actually a completely different version of the story that I wrote to begin with. And I kind of liked it, but it just wasn't clicking all the way for me. And so I kind of sat down, I took a step away from it for just a couple of days, and then I went back to it and I was like, okay, I think this is what it needs to be now. So yeah, but there's a crazier, weirder version of the story somewhere. So.
See, you should have done the crazier, weirder version.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it just, for me, I what I really liked as I was writing the story was I kind of wanted to keep the heart to it and the mm-hmm. emotional aspect to it. So, yeah, and the other version kind of just broke away from the emotion of it, and so I kind of settled on the emotion in the end. So.
Right.
Yours does have a bittersweet ending to it without trying to give too much away.
Holly, what about yours?
Okay.
Yeah. I think with everything I write, I'm not much of a plotter, so it ended up way different. Because you don't really know the heart of it, right, until you're about a third of the way through. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, no, it was way different. It was not crazier or weirder. It was worse. So. No one will ever read that.
Well, so we need that's why we need the Nightmare Sky Part 2, have all of the other versions that everyone
just like the opposite versions of them.
Right.
What was worse about it? Like, it was just a bad story, or is it like way more graphic or violent, or what was it?
It was boring. I kept the same opening scene. I liked like the visual of the opening scene, but yeah, no, everything else changed.
There wasn't a Bigfoot in there or nothing?
Well, no
Bigfoot in space is what I was looking Bigfoot. For.
And when you're writing religious stuff or close to that, it can be little sensitive.
Yeah.
You have to be careful where you tread, I guess. Although I don't really tend to, so I don't know. I think the more people I can like piss off, maybe the better. That's usually my goal, but I had fun with it. And I think my goal is for like a super churchy person to get mad about it.
I can totally see someone getting mad about it.
Yeah. So there you go. It worked.
You've accomplished it. It says everyone's first astronomy horror type story. Tiff's got to think about her. She's like, I wrote one last note.
So I'm like, I'm trying to think of like the depths.
Yeah.
So I've been at it for a while. No, I think that this is the first one, honestly.
Me too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was this on your guys' list to mark off that you've done this? Now you can move on to the, like, you know, space erotica or something else.
That's the part two. It's a space erotica one, right?
Now you're just giving me ideas.
Yeah. Nightmare Skies 2.
I'm in. Let's go. Nightmare Size.
There you go.
All right.
So what about you, Tiffany? Was yours at the last second that you started the way it's turned, the way you wanted it to be? Or did it start out as something different an hour before?
You know, it was a journey, like, because it just started with the concept. It was just you know, what happens if this guy who shows up on this date discovers something and gets a little too obsessed with it, and then where does it go? And I didn't know how it was going to end, honestly. Like, I had no idea. And that's the best kind of writing for me. It doesn't happen all the time, but it's kind of like when these really great ideas come to me every once in a while, it'll be like writing in a fever dream, and it all just kind of has this urgency and has to come out. And I never quite know where it's going to end up. Sometimes I have a slight idea, but I give myself space for it to change, you know, based on whatever comes before and however characters decide to make some decisions. And yeah, this narrator made some really interesting decisions. So
I'm totally picturing the fact that you put it off so long. I'm totally picturing you like talking into a tape player or something, recording it and sending it off to Reb, like, hey, here's what I got. Just, I need longer to type. I mean, that's something I would do probably, you know, if I was procrastinating that long.
Yeah, no, I mean, it all came out like all at once. And it, you know, as soon as I figured out where it was going, I was like, oh, okay, well, I guess we just have to see this through to there and, you know, sleep on it, revisit it the next day and make sure that it's still where I want it to be. But yeah, I didn't know that the ending was going to happen until I was actually writing it. Yeah. but it was really fun. I don't know, maybe fun is the wrong word.
Fun. You got used to air quotes. I know.
Fun. This story, I guess.
It's like sick
were any of these stories
yeah.
fun?
Yeah. Right. I know. I guess there's some of that. But yeah, it was. I think it was more just like the voice came to me, and it just needed, like, the story needed to be told. That might be why I wrote it so quick.
What was that comment Red just had? Red.
This one.
Oh
yeah. You've been in all the anthologies.
That is true.
Well, I would say Chance is asking how many anthologies you've been in.
I'm not sure.
Too many.
I just try my best to submit to everything.
So with your poem, and how do you pronounce your name again? I'm sorry. Is it I?
Yes.
Okay. I apologize.
No, no worries.
So with your poem, was it different? Like, did it, I don't know, because like I've read poetry, but I don't really know anything about poetry. Like, do you go into the poem like having the idea of where it's going to go, or do you just kind of like a story? Do you just kind of make it up as you go along? Or
I think for both my poems and my stories, usually I know the beginning and I know the end, but I have no clue what is happening in the middle. And then I just wait for the muses to come and whisper their dark secrets to me. And then I start writing like I'm possessed. And sometimes it makes sense, sometimes it doesn't make sense, but usually it stays as it is when I'm done.
Is the middle process different as a prose to poem as far as your process writing it, or is it kind of the same?
I think for poetry, it comes a lot faster because the form is a lot shorter. And for prose, sometimes I get stuck and I have to think things through if it's not exactly going where I want it to meet the end. Yeah.
Has anybody else done poetry before?
I've done a couple. It's hard.
Yeah.
Like, it's way harder than writing stories. So yeah, I've only done a couple.
Same here. I've been dipping my toe in it. It's actually been making me excited about poetry again. So it's been really fun. Yeah.
Red's done terrible poetry, is what she said.
I think we've all done terrible poetry, let's be honest.
Like, it seems so simple. To, oh, it's like Cat in the Hat will rhyme these words. And it's like, this is awful.
I did it in high school and college, but I would get music in my head and do it. So it's
like,
I guess it's
kind of like song lyrics.
It's I guess it's more like song lyrics that way. But that's poetry. That could be poetry.
Yeah,
I think
I'd say lyrics are poetry.
Yeah. That's totally poetry.
So what was it about this specific anthology that made you all excited to submit a story for it?
Aside from it being from Red, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, Red's cool. But
yeah.
I will start with you. What made you want to submit a poem to this?
I think I've always wanted to write something about astronomy and the stars because I do write a lot of sci-fi, but I don't write a lot of sci-fi about anything in space or planets or things like that. So I thought I'd write something for this because it sounded like a really cool idea.
Tiffany, what about you?
So for me, it was a bit of a challenge. So my horror generally doesn't go in the direction of sci-fi necessarily, but I really do love the night sky and astronomy and everything involved with that. So it was a bit of a challenge for me. And I didn't want to challenge myself to write sci-fi for the sake of sci-fi necessarily. So it was finding a way where I could put my horror DNA into something. And I think that's why I had to wait for the right idea. Because I'm very much like psychological horror, body horror. That's kind of my jam. And eventually like it all just kind of clicked into place and I went, oh, okay, that's the idea. So it was the challenge because it's not something that I generally write.
So you write more like Cronenberg stuff then, right?
Yeah, I'm a big fan. Like, give me weird body stuff, and I'm there. I'm in.
Matthew,
bodies are
you?
Weird. They're scary. Bodies,
yeah, we'll leave it at that. Bodies are weird. we'll be nice about it.
I think for me, I just when I saw the call, I just kind of immediately got this image of what I wanted to start with in my head. And kind of built it around that. And I know for me, like, I'm a huge sci-fi nerd, and my grandfather always took us to the planetarium as kids, and my brother and I would stand outside with our telescope looking at the stars and all that fun stuff. Just for me, I wanted to kind of take something that I loved and gave me so much joy and kind of turn it on its head and make it dark and nasty and bad. So,
what about you, Holly?
Yeah, it's kind of the same as Tiffany. I'm not typically a off-earth horror writer. And although I love like creature stuff on Earth, and that's sci-fi. But you say sci-fi, most people think, you know, Star Wars, Star Trek.
Right. That's the first thing that popped in my head.
Yeah. So I kind of like the challenge of it. I'm a huge Doctor Who fan. And so initially that's where the ideas were going. Something like, because some of those episodes are horrific and creepy, but none of those really like panned out mentally, so I didn't end up going in that direction. But that's actually why I like wrote down the information for the call, because I wanted to do something like Doctor Who with horror. And Red is fantastic too.
Yeah,
there you go. I like what Red said. She didn't want to great sci-fi. She wanted those human stories.
Yeah.
And none of all of your stories that are here, none of them felt just straight up sci-fi. It felt very grounded. And then you added those elements in along the way.
Cool.
So what's next for everyone as far as writing goes? Well, Ai's already told us that she has a novella, so she's already beat you guys to it. Tiffany, you said you had a short story collection you're working on.
Yeah, yeah. I have a short story collection that I'm working on called How Lovely to Be a Woman, which is going to come out early, hopefully early next year. That is the hope, if I can get everything lined up. And then I have a couple of other stories coming out. I have one coming out in Campfire Macabre Part 2 in October, which is really exciting. So excited for that. It's a story called This Is Not a Haunted House.
Okay.
Is that Flash or is it short story? Because I think the last one was Flash, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. This is Flash as well.
Okay.
This is Flash as well. And it's under the theme of My Last Trick or Treat.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Yeah, it's fun.
I'm just working on stuff, submitting, because, you know, I did realize that rejections do happen. So, so yeah, just going through that and also just trying to improve my writing. I read a ton and just, just want to put myself out there more. And hopefully, you know, I have something in the works that might turn into like a longer novella or novel. But besides that, yeah, just submitting more stuff, more short works.
Okay. I have, there's a found anthology edited by Andy Cole and Gabino Iglesias. Mm-hmm. So I have a story in that. I think it's coming out in November, October. I get that one and this one mixed up. I'm sorry.
this one's November, I think.
Okay, so it's October. It's October then.
And well, we have so much work going on, you know, all of these, you know, laying all so these stories everywhere.
I've got a couple things in the Sirens Call magazine that comes out. I love those guys. Put out great stuff. And they're just super nice to work with. In January, I have a story in Rebecca Rowland's Cannibal Anthology.
Mm-hmm. Called, she told us about that.
It's called American Cannibal. It's going to be really cool. And then next, hopefully, Bigfoot 2 and the final will be out probably next year. And then there's a charity anthology I'm putting together with Rebecca Rowland, Douglas Ford, and Ryan, my husband. We're all doing a novella for it. So, and it'll go to a local food bank.
That's cool.
It's like food shortage horrors.
Okay.
It's a real issue. So.
Mm-hmm. I feel like Rebecca just never stops. Every time you turn around, she's got a new anthology out.
She's a beast. Yeah.
Maximilian has a question for you all. As a writer, what would you say is your greatest strength? Prose, themes, dialogue, descriptions, etc. Matt, we'll start with you.
I feel like I'm pretty good with dialogue and themes. But who knows?
Is there anything, so opposite, is there anything you feel like you struggle with a bit, maybe you'd like to improve upon?
Oh, yeah, definitely my prose and descriptions. I mean, there's writers that I read that, like recently I read Eric LaRocca's Things Have Gotten Worse Since We Last Spoke, and just his writing is just so beautiful. And I just want half of that. So, yeah.
He talks about like the most gnarly, nasty stuff, but it's like in all this very pretty flowery language. Sorry, I should say they,
Yeah, his has just got like a natural flow to it that's unmatched, really.
What about you, Tiffany?
Yeah, Eric LaRocca's work is incredible. I would say, you know, it's taken me a little while to really embrace this about my own style, but I think that there is kind of a cadence and a little bit of a lyrical quality that I've really been leaning into within the past year or two, that I think kind of helps to separate my voice. And it took a long time to find it and to kind of accept it, but I think that that might be the thing that kind of sets my work apart, which is a cool thing to discover. So
yeah,
I think it's that. I would definitely like to work on dialogue because I think sometimes mine can get too lyrical for that same reason.
I feel like dialogue in general is just hard to capture. It feels authentic, like people are talking. Like even like TV shows and movies, sometimes it just feels like someone wrote this instead of people are speaking back and forth.
Yeah, exactly. It's the difference between it feeling like a script or feeling like people are actually talking. And I think that it's really special when people can master that and you go, oh, this is something that someone would really say. Yeah. I think that's incredibly special.
I already say I love it when I'm reading a book that the dialogue tells the story. Like I really get into that because it just has a flow to it. Not a lot of description and extra narrative to it, like when the actual dialogue between the people. I mean, I know it sounds more like a movie script at times, but there's something about that really draws me in, though.
There's something where you can say so much without saying it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like everything, you kind of fill it in. It's almost filling in the blanks in between the dialogue. And I think that there's some real magic there.
Yeah.
If people can do that well.
What is it? Max Booth III's Maggot Screaming has exceptional dialogue. Some of the funniest dialogue, but it feels so natural. And it was just, that was one of my favorite parts of that book. Just the dialogue between the characters. Hi, what about you?
I want to say prose and descriptions. Mm-hmm. I feel like when I'm writing, I really lean into metaphorical and subtextual writing. So a lot of the times I forego the dialogue or have a lot of interior dialogue instead. But I've been trying to balance it a lot more lately. But, you know, it, I always fall into old habits.
Is there something you'd like to improve upon?
The balance, I think, between prose and dialogue, for sure, like description and dialogue, but also more emotion, I think, in my writing, not too focused on external description.
Yeah. Okay.
I think I'm decent at dialogue. I think early on in like writing, I read that it's good to read it aloud to hear it when you write dialogue. And that really helps a lot. And the story that's coming out in the Cannibal anthology is 100% dialogue. It's an interview. It's a weird form.
Oh, okay.
And I had a lot of fun with that. But I would say my thing I need to work on are descriptions. I tend to underwrite first drafts, and it's white room syndrome, right? They're just standing in a white room. Like, I don't know where they're standing or what it looks like or what it feels like or smells like. So I actually have a post-it note with the five senses when I'm editing, because like at the end of every chapter, make sure I hit some of those at least.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Yeah, because I definitely still do that, unfortunately.
Any of you others have things like that, like a sense wheel or a lucky rabbit's foot or, you know, a lucky pin or something?
I don't think so.
Matt just started off lucky. Submitted. Got his
I know. I was going to say he's over. Like, it's just a natural gift I have. Just so you know.
I have a friend who reads my stuff and tells me what he thinks is good or not. So
I should have just stopped. He was 1-0. He was perfect.
I know, he was like,
I'm done with the writing game, guys.
All right, I'm out of here.
That's what my husband Ryan does. He wrote two short stories, submitted them, they were accepted. He co-wrote the Bigfoot book with me, and he's like, I could stop now. I've never had a rejection.
It's like, I'm feeling good. Like,
yeah. Like, that's not how that works.
So how do you all deal with rejections? Like, if you were to be able to give advice to somebody like Matt's never had one, he probably never will, but other authors that, because, like, you know, everyone gets them. You know, Joe Lansdale was on, and he said he had hundreds and hundreds of rejections and stuff. So it's not like, oh, Stephen King, you know, they all have rejections. Do you have any advice for other authors maybe new submitting stuff to people, how to just sort of deal with a rejection? Because eventually it's going to come whether you want it to or not.
Yes.
Matt, it's coming your way now.
Yes, Matt. It's coming.
Matt can't say anything because he doesn't know yet.
After this acceptance, I did have rejection. So
we're just messing with you.
No, I know.
It sucks. I mean, nobody wants to be rejected, right?
Yeah.
But it's a badge of honor, really. Like, I don't know. It's almost like you sort of earn it after getting rejected so many times.
It's like your battle scars, kind of.
Yeah.
Tiffany, do you have any advice or anything, or how you handle it? Or
yeah, I totally do. I've been at this for a minute, so there's been a ton of rejection. But I actually find it inspiring in a weird way. Like, it just kind of lights a fire under me to send whatever it is out again. I think that over time you start to realize that it's not necessarily your work. Sometimes it's just not the best fit. Art is so subjective. And what doesn't work for one person will be someone else's jam. So it's just a matter of, you know, believing in your work and going back out and sending it and finding the right home for it, essentially. So whenever I get rejections, I immediately find new markets for whatever came back. Mm-hmm. And you just keep going.
You know, it could be your jam too. Like, if you get 10 rejections, you have enough for a short story collection.
Yeah,
absolutely. Like that, I mean, there are some stories that are going into my collection that, you know, are ones that have been rejected a whole bunch, but I love them. And so they're going to be in that book. you know, so just it's kind of motivation. You know, there's this thing that I did last year that Haley Piper brought up too, where she has a rejection quota. And the cool thing, yeah, the cool thing about that is that you're kind of tracking rejections instead of acceptances.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it gets you kind of fired up, and then you'll submit to things that you wouldn't have previously. So it's an interesting thing because I actually wound up getting a lot more acceptances than I had in previous years because I was just trying to go for rejections. It's actually really cool. And it dials it in differently for you.
That's sort of like setting your expectations up differently. Like if you're going for the rejection, you get acceptance. It's like, oh, that's awesome. But if you do get the rejection, yeah. It's not as big of a deal.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, sort of switch that mindset going in.
Either way, it's a win-win, right? Because right. either you're getting closer to your rejection goal or you get an acceptance, which is also awesome. But so,
yeah, I mean, I think people put too, rejection is kind of a negative thing, mm-hmm. but if they put too much of a negative light on it, then, you know, they're just keeping track of only the rejections. They're going to lose track of all of their acceptance, you know, and before they know it, they have 100 in 1 year, but they're focusing on, you know, the 10 rejections.
So. I like what Chad said. Rejection, so at least you're trying. You're writing, not just talking about it. So if you're not getting any rejections, you're not doing anything anyway. So.
Absolutely. Send your work out there. It's all a learning curve. You know, and if something comes back and has been rejected a lot, you know, there are times where I'll go back and reassess and say, okay, well, is there something that's really just not working with this piece? And, you know, that can be a great opportunity to do some edits. And sometimes I'm just like, it's just not the right person or the right time. And I still believe in it. So I'm just going to keep sending it out whenever I find the right opportunity. So, yeah.
And also just because you got a rejection doesn't necessarily mean your story is bad. There just might be other stories that were similar enough in the anthology that person just maybe liked better or were a better fit. So it's, again, not necessarily your story wasn't good. Just maybe there was another one very similar to it that they've already picked for it.
Exactly. Sometimes it's just theme.
Especially for something like this where it's a very specific theme, you know, the nighttime sky. I'm sure she had a bunch of them where people were on spaceships or using telescopes or whatever it may be that were very similar. She can only pick a few of those because she don't want the whole book to feel like it's exactly the same.
What did she say? 200, right?
250. Yeah, she like 250. So I'm sure out of the 250, there were a number of them that were pretty similar to each other.
Yeah.
What about you? Do you have any advice for handling rejections or anything?
I try not to repeat anything that's already been said. But I feel like if you are sending your work out a lot, even if it's not being read the whole way, even if it's being read a few pages, a paragraph, even a word, someone is getting their eyes on it. Mm-hmm. Like someone is reading it. And you never know, even if you're rejected, you might pick up readers along the way who have read and liked your work. And even if a publication has not picked it, doesn't necessarily mean that your work is bad.
And like, if you're someone like Matthew, you know, getting a rejection, like at least he's sort of getting into the community and meeting people and, you know, publishers and editors and all that stuff. So, you know, if you're getting a rejection, you're still sort of getting your foot in the door, you know, with the networking aspects of it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I would say too, you know, coming from like a professional theater background, a professional performer, rejection was part of that game. You know, you'd go to 20, sometimes 20 auditions a week and, you know, never hear back anything from any of them. And that's a rejection. And it hurts because when we are doing something like writing or performing, it's something that's deeply personal to us and it's sharing of ourselves. And, you know, so it's hard to deal with. But I think for me, it was just making sure that, you know, I knew that I was putting my best foot forward every time and I was doing what I loved and I was sharing what I loved with other people. And letting that kind of give me joy as opposed to, you know, the rejection part of it. Just continuing with sharing what I loved with others. So.
That's a good way to look at it as well.
Have all of you brushed up on your astronomy history? Is that even astronomy history? Astronomy trivia? I guess I should have said history.
The history of the universe.
The history of the astronomy stuff. Because we're going to give away meteorites.
No, No, if there's a quiz, I'm getting an F. I'm pretty sure.
We have a meteorite to give away. How are we going to do this, Brad?
Red came up with a bunch of just really hard, like NASA level questions.
I was hoping you copied them down. I didn't copy them down.
I've got them. Okay, yeah, I got them on here.
So we'll ask for my part.
So we're gonna. Red, it's all history. Look at her. It's all the history. Wait,
are we answering it or is it chat?
No, we're gonna just the chat. The okay. Chat. See if people in the chat can.
Red says they're not hard, but she came up with them, and she's the astronomy expert. But
right,
they're easy to her. So we'll ask a few here, and so
try
in
to
the
keep
chat,
track of who's answering, right?
So first person to answer in the chat, we'll write your name down, and then at the end, we'll put all the people's names down that got a question right, and we'll spin the wheel, and the winner will get the meteorite in a book. Red's an amateur. She's a scholar. She's selling herself short. All right, so we'll do the first trivia question here. And again, first person to answer in the chat with the correct answer will write your name down.
And there's a little bit of a delay too, so don't blurt it out.
So if you're in the chat, be sure you're on. I think it's live chat instead of top chat because it doesn't show the most recent ones sometimes. All right, so number one, this is a horror movie question. In the 1997 horror movie Event Horizon, astronauts are sent on a rescue mission after a missing spaceship. The Event Horizon spontaneously appears in orbit around which planet? So if these are hard questions, Joe, you can't blame me this time on the trivia. It's all Red's fault if it doesn't go well.
I don't even know that. And I looked at the questions earlier.
So which planet does the Event Horizon spaceship orbit around in the movie Event Horizon? We've got people guessing Jupiter. That's not correct. There's only some of you can guess, too. So
I was going to say, we have like, what, eight to guess from?
David got it right. Neptune.
You're putting his name on the wheel, nice. Right? Or do I need to write these down?
I got it on the wheel.
Okay.
You all can't tell. We're very professional.
There's some great answers.
Planet Hollywood. Nice.
Dune. We'll ask another one real quick. This is a tough one, Red. I don't know if people are going to get this one. They're going to have to Google it. NASA has identified thousands of asteroids that pose a potential threat to Earth. They call these objects that pass a little too close for comfort NEOs. What does NEO stand for?
Remember the movie Armageddon when they got on top of an asteroid and they had to destroy it? Sorry.
What were the two that were really close? It was Armageddon and there was another one that came out the same. Like, was it Deep Impact?
Oh,
was.
Deep Impact,
the same movie?
Yeah.
Here we go. Joe Sullivan got it that time.
Near Earth object. I'm learning tonight. See?
Gnarly extra orbiters, Tim McGregor. Did you all see the...
Not even on my radar. Never eat oranges.
Never. Did you all see the other day where they actually hit an asteroid with like the spaceship or whatever? That was crazy. Did you see that, Jay?
Yes.
No. What was that?
They shot some kind of spaceship off last November, and it just now hit the asteroid they were trying to shoot out of the sky and deflected off its path.
No.
It was all over Twitter the other day.
You live on Twitter, man. I'm on there like once a week.
That's just wild to me to have what's been in there almost a year and it actually hit where it was supposed to hit.
How many more questions you got? I want to give away this meteorite.
We got 10 total. You want to do all 10?
Let's do it.
All right, hold on. Let me get their names on here. Okay, this is a gnarly question. Maybe someone wrote a story about this. You'll have to buy the anthology and find out. There's a theory that if one were to enter a black hole a location in space where gravity is so strong no light can escape its grasp. Their body would be stretched and compressed, essentially smashing and stringing their organs, guts, muscles, skin, and bones into long, thin strands. What is the scientific term that is used to describe this process?
I don't know, but I think Tiffany just wrote a story in her head just now. You know, she got
the
she
body horror is just blowing up.
The body horror is just like.
I know. I'm like, I think I need to take notes here. What is the scientific term?
Yeah.
Red, you'll have to let us know. Did someone write a story about that?
Fucking painful.
The answer is really funny too, though, because it doesn't sound like it's a scientific term. Sounds like something Jay would make up.
That is true.
This is when I want to call it like string cheese or something like that.
It's a Taco Bell effect.
You're actually not that far off, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah, it's. Let's see.
Someone got it.
Spaghettification.
Spaghettification. Yep. Nerd's opinion. Okay. Is that the first one we check?
Yeah, I saw.
Yeah.
David and Al Wilson had it too, but I missed one nerd's opinion. So.
So it's spaghettification or the noodle effect, either way.
Those are both great.
That is totally the
great terms.
Your next novella. I know you're thinking about it right now, aren't you?
It's totally going to happen.
Like, wouldn't that just be, I mean, you're already dead because you're in a black hole, but wouldn't that just be the absolute worst way to die, being stretched into spaghetti? Well, Red's laughing. Number four, Ray Bradbury wrote stories set on the planet Venus, where people live where it rains a lot. Today, we know that Venus is parched. Its atmospheric pressure is so high, spacecraft landers are crushed within hours of landing on the surface, and the air is unbreathable for humans. What gas primarily makes up Venus's atmosphere? Jay, I like your answer. Fucking painful.
What gas makes up Venus's atmosphere?
Venus's atmosphere. Yeah, I feel like this one's pretty easy.
Hmm.
Is it? I should probably.
Steve got it. It's carbon dioxide.
Has anybody gotten two answers right yet?
No, not yet. Not that I've seen. Oh, that'd be awful. Stretch into spaghetti for eternity due to time dilation. Just keep stretching and stretching and stretching.
Y'all are just giving me ideas here. It's great. I know.
You're going to have a whole collection about the spaghettification theory or whatever. Right.
Screw that other collection I was going to put out. Like, spaghettification is happening.
What's the name of your spaghetti collection, Tiffany? You got to think of a cool name for it. Call it like marinara or something.
Yeah.
Al dente. Al dente. There you go.
Ooh, I like that.
All right, this is a good question. This author wrote an Aliens novel that features the fan favorite character PFC Jeanette Vasquez from the hit movie Aliens. Who's this author? I think they pushed it back. I think it comes out November 1st now. It was supposed to come out end of October.
Y'all should know this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got an arc for it. I'm super pumped.
Oh, I can't wait to read it.
There they go.
Steve.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's got it now. Yeah. I'm so excited for that book.
Oh, it's going to be so good.
Well, Steve, the first one on there?
He was, yeah.
Well, he's already on the wheel, though, right?
Yeah. Do we want to do just one person, or we give someone double chance?
Well, I don't know. You want to go with Joe? He was the next one. Joe Sullivan.
Go with Joe. Give more people. I think he's already got one, too.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
then that does. Puts Rebecca Rowland. Because they might have all done at the same time. We don't know how.
Yeah, it all says we'll add Rebecca on there. Edgar Allan Poe wrote a science fiction story seemingly well-researched for the time period. It was titled The Unparalleled Adventure of One Hans Pfaall, I'm probably not pronouncing that right, in which a man travels to this celestial body. Hmm. What celestial body do they travel to in Edgar Allan Poe's story, The Unparalleled Adventure of One Hans Pfaall? It's P-F-A-A-L-L. Yeah, everyone knew the V. Castro one. I'm excited for that book.
Jennifer Aniston.
Jennifer Aniston. It was the moon. I think Maximilian was the first one to answer. He's not on there yet. Good.
We have a very smart crowd this evening.
I know. Usually the trivia does not go this good. We just need to hire Red to do all the trivia from now on.
Right.
Usually they just sit there and they just kind of twiddle the thumbs and it's very anticlimactic.
Well, no, there are a lot of intellectuals, it looks like, in the chat because, you know, I don't know any of these.
It's because Red is... Jay, you need to do the trivia because last time you did it, you about had a meltdown and just died laughing.
We don't need to revisit that.
Man, that was the best moment out of all the episodes we've had. We'll do two more. We'll get two more people on the list. When tracking a planet's apparent motion across the sky over months, occasionally the planet will appear to move backward against the backdrop of stars. In astronomy and astrology, what is the motion called? So what's the motion called when the planet looks like it's actually going backwards against the stars instead of forward?
Trick photography.
Got it right, Jay. You're so smart, man.
Special effects. I don't know. Moonwalking.
Moonwalking. I like moonwalking. Moonwalking's a good one.
We call it crawfishing in Texas. Crawfishing. Because they go backwards.
I really like that.
So I think Laura was the first one to get it that has not already got one right. David's got it already. Joe's got it. So we'll add Laurel on there. All right, last question. Let's see. In 1990, here you go, Jay. It's a history question. You ready?
Oh, the late 1900s. All right.
Late 1900s. In 1990, Carl Sagan, or Sagan, called Earth a pale blue dot after the release of an image of Earth taken at a distance of nearly 4 billion miles away. The image, a 0.12 pixel size blue speck in a field of over 600,000 pixels, was taken on a camera by this spacecraft. So what spacecraft took a picture of Earth in 1990? Jay, do you know any? You know Sputnik, right? The little Russian guy, little Russian spacecraft.
Sure.
Come on, Jay. You know that one.
Was that before you were born, Brad?
Probably. What year was it?
You just said 90. For the
question. Oh no, I was born in 90. I was 4 years old. I don't see anybody who's got it yet. Someone's got it, but they've already on the list.
I was already old.
How old were you in 90? Jay, what were you doing in 90? Were you in college yet?
High school. Was I in high school? I don't know, but you're only
10 years older than me, so you would.
My oldest daughter says at school they talk about the 80s and 90s, it's the late 1900s, and it just makes me really feel
great about yourself.
Wow.
Yeah. So you could be Rebecca's son, she says, Brad.
Probably could. What about, I'm 36, I think.
No, you're not.
I think I am. whatever 2022 minus 1986 is how old I am.
I know, 1990 was like 10 years ago, right? I mean, that's what it feels like.
Red says, which Voyager? People are saying Voyager and Voyager 2. There you go. Kathleen.
There's other ones that said Voyager 1, right?
They were already on the list.
Okay. We'll give it to Kathleen.
Voyager 1.
All right. You want to spin the wheel?
Yeah, hold on. Let me get her name.
Should we bring Red back for this?
You want to.
Should we kick everybody out and just...
Let me make sure that Red's still here. Red.
She was losing power.
Red's got her camera off. She's probably doing something different.
I know. She's watching. What's on Friday night? What's on Friday night? What's on TV? She's watching Andy Griffin. She's watching Star Trek. Is that show still on?
All right. So before we bring Red back, does anyone have anything else they want to say about their story or the anthology in general or anything?
Anyone?
Sure. I'll just say that I've read the entire anthology, and there is something for everyone. It's really great. It dips into so many different subgenres of horror. There's even some fantasy elements. Just so many incredible stories and poems. If the night sky is your jam, this is your anthology.
I don't know why, but I thought you were trying to say I read the whole anthology and mine's the best. But you didn't. You didn't. So
no.
Mine's the first story in the anthology. It's also the only story you need to read because it's the best.
No, I would never say that. No. There are so many. The story, everything is incredible in this anthology. All of the stories are really wonderful.
Yeah, I've read about half of it and no two feel the same. They all feel different. Like Holly's is like post-apocalyptic and yours is doing horrible stuff to eyeballs and Matt's got a comet. I's got this cool poem about sort of giving someone a planet and it's not really a planet, some different, or vice versa. It's all different. It's all good.
I just want to say
go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, I was just going to say thank you to Red and it's just such an honor to be in such amazing company. In this anthology, and I'm just so happy and surprised and thrilled to be here. So,
I will say I've read Holly before, and I think I can't remember her name. I've only read like one or two authors in the anthology, so most everybody was new to me authors, but I really enjoyed everyone's story that I've read so far. So just because they're new to you authors doesn't mean it's not good quality stuff too.
Yeah, the table of content. TOC looked really like. Names I haven't seen before. That's pretty
Margaritis
cool.
Her last name. I can't think of her first name. Yeah. Margaritis.
Like anthologies. I mean, you find so many new writers that you can start following from something like this. So there's and the, 28 the way, in there. That's a lot.
There's 28. The way her she did a poem too. The way it's laid out, it's like a donut hole. It's really cool.
Yeah.
And I can't remember the title of it. It's like the whole in space or something like that. But the way it's formatted, Red did a good job about that. That was cool.
Yeah, her work is really incredible too.
Because she did the poem near the beginning of What One Wouldn't Do by Scott J. Moses. I really liked her poem in that, too. All right, so let's go around one more time. Where can people find you on social media and stuff? And tell everybody again what your story is called here in the anthology. So Holly, we'll start with you.
My story is Star of San Luis. My website is hollyraygarcia.com. And on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, I'm Holly Ray Garcia. Try to make it easy.
There you go.
My story is The One Who Rides the Comet. And you can find me on Twitter at Matthew Candelo and on Instagram at Matthew the Bookworm.
Tiffany Michelle Brown. My story is Stargazer. And you can find me the most on Twitter at Tiffy Brown, TiffeBrown.
My poem is A Promise of Surprise. You can find me at ijang.ca or on Twitter, ijang_.
And also in all the anthologies. Just pick one up and just get in there.
It's true.
So I think what we could do is kind of be mean and just kick everybody out now and bring Red back.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much for having us. There's no easy way of saying it, you know, like, hey, we're getting rid. You can hang out backstage.
if people want to start paying us money, then we can get the better StreamYard and have more people on screen at once.
Right.
No, I'm just joking. No one.
All of our money went into that website, by the way.
Yeah.
It looks great.
It's a good website.
Thank you. Very nice.
We actually seem like kind of halfway legit professional now.
Yeah.
All the way legit.
I
don't know. All the way legit. I don't know how.
He just drags it down. Chad was not here. Chad was coming in earlier, just praying for y'all because Jay was here with you.
I saw that.
Yeah. Chad's a cannibal. Well, we're leaving on that. So again, thank you, the four of you, for being part of this, being part of this little shindig, this two dopes with microphones. Show
that's why we can't
here.
Have anything nice. We're trying to be all professional. Jay's coming.
No, I'm being serious. I'm thanking them for stopping by, taking time out of their Friday evening to hang out with us to promote this awesome anthology that, you could tell a lot of work went into it. So,
yeah.
But now, you don't have to go home. You can't stay here. So we're going to kick you out and bring Red back. And someone's going to win a meteorite.
Anyway,
I want to book two, but
the book two, but the meteorite's more important.
Kind of excited about the meteorite. So.
I'm excited.
I'm excited. I want to win it. But Holly, Matthew, Tiffany, I thank you all so much for hanging out with us for a little bit, chatting about your story. We really appreciate y'all coming on. And the queen of paper cuts.
Thank you so much.
We bow down to Holly.
This is probably the most live guest we've had at the same time because it's Holly's on here. So I think we hit 30. So.
This will probably have like 4,000 views since she's come back now.
This one right here is going to be the new,
yeah,
the new queen. It's all because of you.
We're going to start using her name to promote every show, even though she's not going to be on each show. We're just going to use her name.
Author chat with Holly Keelan, Patrick Francis, Bart Garcia. Just throw her name in there with everybody else.
Yeah,
and the algorithm will just eat it up.
Yeah. Oh my god. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye, Holly.
Thanks for having us.
Have a good night, everybody. Yeah. Totally appreciate
it. Thank you.
Bye.
Oh, Jay about kicked you out, man.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Wouldn't be the first time.
We probably should check to make sure Red was ready, right?
She was. Hey, she's been back. Like, right. Red, hopefully I didn't butcher your questions too much. Hopefully I did okay.
No, they're good. Yeah, they worked out well.
All right. Are you ready to give away a meteorite? Where did you get this meteorite from? Before someone wins it, tell us about it.
I'm not allowed to talk about that.
Okay.
Wow.
There's a museum somewhere missing it.
It's like Area 51 meteorite no one knows about.
You can totally buy meteorites from Amazon. they're like buying a name of a scar, in a certificate. No, it's an actual meteorite. Oh. Like if you've ever seen an iron rich meteorite, it's a freaking meteorite. You can tell it's heavy for its size and it's very tiny, but it's got a lot of mass for, it's about the size of, a quarter.
Oh, it doesn't look very big. It's pretty heavy though.
No, it's not very big at all.
It's not very big at all. The big ones, the really big ones are incredibly heavy and they cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
So like,
you need to add one more name to that.
Who do I need to put on there?
Steve Patti. I don't know how to pronounce his name. Patti? Patti. He actually got the answer correct before someone else. I don't remember who.
Oh, did he?
Okay. That's someone else's name. So yeah, you should stick his name in there. Yeah.
Steve Patti.
I got him on there.
Yep.
Okay.
So with this meteorite, do you know, did it come off of a bigger one or is this just the whole thing or do you not have any idea?
Oh, no, it's not the whole. So the meteorite's this size. Like, if this were a little space rock, were to.
That would burn up, wouldn't it?
Burn up.
It would just burn up. Yeah, it'd burn up. Nothing. So this was a huge meteor that hit Earth 4,000 or 5,000 years ago. In Argentina, and there's this whole field of like craters and stuff where there's just fragments of meteorites everywhere, and they just dig them up and they sell them.
That's cool.
That's a side hustle. That's all on TikTok.
It's all on TikTok.
Yeah.
Ready to spin the wheel?
Yeah, let's do this.
All right, let's see.
I bet it's going to land on.
Here we go. Who's it? David Dale Wilson?
Hey, David. David doesn't live that far from me. I think he's within.
You don't even have to ship it. You can just drive it to his house.
I was going
to
say, yeah. You lucked out on shipping there.
Congratulations, David. Here, watch this, Jay. We got real fancy. We've been talking about getting applause. Got some applause now.
So I decided earlier today that everybody that got on this wheel would actually also receive the digital arc.
So everyone's a winner.
Nice. If you leave your email, I was gonna just drop a link, but apparently I can't share links, and it's not quite ready yet anyway. Just get your email to me if you can. I don't know how we should arrange that.
They can go to our website and go to the contact form and send it that way, or if they know any of us on Twitter, they can message us on Twitter.
Right.
Or Instagram.
Okay. Yeah. Reach out to me on Twitter or send me.
Can they contact you through your website?
That's what I'm about to do. deathknellpress@gmail.com. Just send me an email. Just be like, hey, I was on the wheel. Send me my fucking book.
And don't lie, because this is recorded. So we can go back and look.
I won't go back and look. I'll probably just send it anyway.
Just send it to everybody.
But anyone who is not on the wheel, I do have a short story that I would like to send to them, but I can't share the link here. I have a link that's ready to go. So you can also reach out to me if you came tonight. I want to give away a short story. It's called Wish Demons. It's a cheesy little horror story about what happens to those missing socks from the laundry room.
Can you see the private chat? If you put the link in the private chat, I might be able to post it since I'm the host.
Oh, cool. Yeah, let me do that.
I'll try that. And also, let's see, Nightmare Sky. Also, it's now available for pre-order on the old Amazons.
It is.
Yes.
See if it'll
November, link. November 4th is the official release date for this. Mm-hmm. And even though the book was up for a week on Amazon, we're going to take credit and say we've done the official launch party for the cover. So
you did, because I didn't share that with anybody. I don't think anybody actually went on looking for it.
Screw you, Bezos. I mean, we could take credit for this. Yeah. You don't need it.
But it's not just on Amazon. I think it's other places. It should be other places too. It should be like other online retailers as well, Barnes & Noble and Bookshop. It should be.
So once this the stream is over, I'll add the Google Drive link to the description and the Amazon link where they can go pre-order it. So whoever's watching, if you want the free story, check the description. Once it's once we're not live anymore, I'll put the link to Red Story down there. You can download that. And also go over to Amazon and pre-order it.
Yes, please.
Real quick, Death Nail Press. Is that just you, or is there somebody working with you?
No, it's just me. Okay. For now, it's just me. Yeah, so with Death Nail, it was originally just going to be a launch of kind of my new imprint, because I was using La Red Books before I started using the name Red. But La Red Books wasn't working anymore for me. I wasn't liking it. So I wanted to change my imprint to something else. And I also wanted, I had always considered doing my own press. So that's what it is. It's just me for now. I don't have huge plans of being some big press. I'm not going to be putting out several books a year. It's just kind of something to maybe publish my own work, maybe do an anthology every once in a while. And I do have one book that I'm publishing for
next
year. Yeah, Laurel Hightower has signed with me, and I get to release her horror collection, Every Woman Knows This, March next year. So that's kind of a big deal. But that's it. I don't have tons of projects lined up. It's just
sounds like we need to have you and Laurel back on when that collection comes out.
Absolutely.
Laurel's been on it quite a few times. She's got a habit of killing off some of the best characters in her books.
The best looking guys.
Yeah.
The handsome truckers.
Yeah.
Who's that handsome trucker named after, Jay?
It's there's a story behind the name, but
yeah. Will you? Well, handsome. So, yeah. Anyway, when I read below, I just pictured you as Mads the entire time.
Yeah.
Or other way around, Mads is you. You as Mads.
I thought about reading it with a trucker hat on, but
get into the character.
I'm not much of a hat guy, but
I always pictured I don't know why, but I pictured the well read beard as Mads.
That he's still in your thunder, Jay.
Son bitch.
I could see Kevin as Mads. Yeah.
I don't know what it was about it, but I just read him and that's who I pictured.
See, I need someone to kill me off in a story. No one, well, actually, someone's killed me off in a story. It hadn't come out yet, but I'm excited for it.
Oh, yeah. Yay. I look forward to your death.
Me too. It's probably going to be really horrible. But the more horrible, the better.
It's the best way to go.
I think I'm in two more. They're just not out yet. So I won't talk
lucky,
about it.
Lucky dog getting killed left and right, Jay.
I know. I think that's high honors.
What is that saying about you? Are people just living out their fantasies and dreams? And
if you bring Chad back, he's going to tell you.
Chad will never come back on this show again.
I know. Yeah.
All right, so Chad? What happened to Chad?
So he put out the Cannibal Creator, I guess earlier this year. Jay did a video, the review for it, but the review was actually Chad's like autobiography, like Chad's actually a cannibal.
It was like a news report, and a couple saying Chad Lutzky is a cannibal. And instead of doing a review, I made it like a news report, and I talked about him being a cannibal.
And but the entire time, and just like never was like I'm joking or anything. He just ended it with Chad's cannibal at the end.
So I just kept I stayed stone faced as long as I could and just kind of made like a news report that he was a cannibal. And, then,
and I don't think he was
really liked
whatever.
Yeah,
but I was talking to Holly, or Holly was commenting on the review I did for it or something, and I asked like, could you see yourself really being a cannibal? And Holly was like, absolutely. If I needed to be, feed my kids, I would absolutely feed someone to my kids. So I'm excited for her story that's going to be in Rebecca's Cannibal Anthology. See what she does with that.
Yeah.
Excited. Look at her. She said, yep, I would totally eat a person if I had to.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'd like to say I wouldn't, but I mean, you got to survive. What are you going to do? I mean, I'm not going to like grab their arm and just eat it like a giant turkey leg at a Renaissance festival, but like cut off some meat maybe.
Yeah.
I could just imagine the Texan come out in Holly just like, yep, 100%, put them on the barbecue, just pair them up.
Tastes like chicken.
That's
a little chewy.
My side note real quick, my son lost one of his front teeth earlier in the week and he was like licking his gums. He said, it tastes like chicken. It's just so weird. Where his tooth is gone.
Well, Chad just said it was my way of saying that I didn't like. I loved the book. I gave it a 4 or 5. I don't know what, but I loved the book. I just figured, you know, I figured I'd leave the usual review to Brad and just did something different. Yeah. All right, Red. We totally appreciate you allowing us to show off the cover of your hard work and your anthology and all these awesome astronomy horror stories.
See if I can pull it up again for people who's late, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many other shows you could have done this with, and you chose us, so we really appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Well, thank you for having me. I love your guys' show. Yeah. It's good fun. There it is. I'm so sick of looking at it. So now when I've seen it so many times, I'm like, oh, it's garbage.
Yeah, we've seen it, what, like a month and a half, 2 months ago or something like that when we started.
I have, yeah.
I don't know how we didn't let it leak.
Or you could trust us. If you're an author listening, want to be on the show, we'll keep your secrets.
Yeah, this is proof because we've had this for like, has it been a couple months?
Yeah, I think you asked us in the end of July, maybe somewhere around in there.
Was it? And it's funny because I had it ready well before then. probably going back to June, maybe even sooner, because when I was working on it, I was also working on the cover. And so I didn't have it completed 100%, but I had this pretty much mocked up.
Yeah. How'd you get Alan Baxter to do the foreword?
I sent an incredibly awkward email. And for some reason, he said yes. Nice. Yeah. So if there's anyone that you want a blurb from or a forward from, someone you want to review your book, just ask. I mean,
well, the worst they can do is say no.
Yeah, the worst is they'll say no. Yeah. I've had almost everybody I've reached out to has said yes. And occasionally someone who said yes, just, you know, they couldn't get around to it. You know, they didn't end up doing it, which is not a big deal. It's going to happen with reviews. It's going to happen with blurbs too. So they'll say, yeah, send it to me. I'll get to it. And then they just don't get to it. And that's okay. Or they hated it, but I'm just going to assume they didn't get to it.
that's silent rejection.
I just can't get to it, you know.
Was there something about Alan though that you were specifically wanting him to do the forward? Yeah. Like, does he like astrology too, or do you just like his writing style?
So I don't even remember what the conversation was, but we were just on Twitter, mentioned something about space, and we had a little back and forth. It was a very brief thing. It was about him looking at, I don't remember what. And I was like, oh, he's into astronomy, because he knew when it was going to be in the sky and all. Because it was in the sky for us, but it wasn't in the sky for him yet. And I know whenever someone says they're interested in space, I get really excited, and it like locks in my vault, fellow space geek. So I was like, I gotta ask him.
I'll say his forward is awesome, and that'll not sound as cheesy if you read the actual forward.
Yeah,
it was good. I've enjoyed all the stories I've read in it. So, Jay, did you read anything yet?
I've skimmed through it. I mean, it's like, what do we say, 57 stories in it. So,
yeah, it's about 1,000 pages.
Yeah. I don't know what
it's 28 stories. However, well, no,
because here's the thing, like, you have 28 stories in this. Like, I think I got on Laurel in the one she did, the anthology she did a while back, that had like 55 stories in it. Like, make a part two. You're killing me here.
But I mean, usually when it's that many, the word count isn't any higher. So I was aiming for a 60,000 word count, because as ambitious as it sounds, in order to be nominated for a Stoker, you have to have at least 60,000 words for anthology. Even though I know the likelihood of being nominated for Stoker is really low on an anthology.
Now look, I love how you designed the cover.
I wanted to aim for that bar. I wanted to set that bar for myself. So I aimed for it.
I don't know if you can see my mouse on the cover, but right in this area would be a great place for a Stoker sticker. Right in there. red sticker on there.
Hey, you're good with Photoshop. Go ahead, put it on there.
I can't. I'll just slap it on there tonight. Put it up.
I don't know. Have you seen Hidden Horrors? Hidden Horrors. I think that's gonna be a good nominee this year, this one.
Yeah, that one looks good.
Mm-hmm. This one, yeah. That's going to be a contender this year.
I like that purposeful negative space you left right there for that sticker in the future, though. I can see.
Well, hell, just go ahead and put it on there.
Just go ahead and slap it on there.
Oh, my God. Don't do that.
All right.
No, I don't want to get you. I won't do it. I don't want to get you in trouble.
No, don't get me in trouble.
All right, so November 28 4th, stories, we're looking at.
But there's some poems and stuff, so it's not as long as it sounds.
Right.
Yeah, there's a lot of flash in there. There's a lot of short, like 1,000 word stories. So it's not going to be a huge, thick book. It's going to be a standard size, like a novel size book. It's going to be 60,000 words. Yeah.
Exciting.
I think the ebook you sent us was like 180 pages or something like that. It wasn't too long.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm excited for everyone to get to read it, because it is really good. And I like space horror. You don't see that very often anymore.
Yeah.
Something different.
Yay. Hopefully everybody likes it.
Once again, thanks so much for allowing us to do this. Mm-hmm. yeah, for the special guests that we've had, your friends that stopped by, thank you so much. That's the most people we've had on the show at once, right?
Yep, we never had that many.
Officially seven. We've had six before, so that we had seven people tonight.
Well, yeah, hey, I gotta be extra.
Yeah. She got to bring her entourage with her.
He's up to 11. But yeah, thanks so much for everyone who stopped by, and congratulations to everyone who made the anthology, who landed in this special anthology. And thanks again for allowing us to show off the cover on our little show here. So I think that's going to do it, right?
Yeah.
Anything else, Red? Red, you guys want to?
Anything else to add, Red?
Nope, I've got nothing. Thank you, everybody, for coming. Oh, I'm so glad people showed up. I wasn't sure what was going to happen. November 4th.
Yeah, November 4th.
And the pre-order is up now.
Yep. Awesome. Hop it over to Amazon and pick it up. Go ahead, get it pre-ordered. It's good.
Thanks to everyone in the chat who stopped by and played along with the trivia. And congratulations.
Everyone was a winner. Everyone got something.
Everyone's a winner.
Everyone's a winner.
Red's so generous.
That's what they say.
All right, it's a wrap. Until we meet again, everyone. Do my
awesome love you, Jay. Life.
I know you do.
Thanks for coming by, Red. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yay.